Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borkson-Keto, and we're recording this on May 15th, 2018. Today, our guest is Hans Nordby, Managing Director at CoStar. Hans is going to discuss the current state of REIT valuations and what that could mean for the market going forward. Welcome, Hans.
Sarah, thanks so much for having me back.
So Hans, could you start by discussing some of the main factors that are influencing REIT valuations at this time?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, we've got a lot of uncertainty around interest rates, and we have a lot of volatility in the stock markets. Between the two, an asset class like REITs, which is thought of as being highly interest rate sensitive, is really being beat up in terms of capital valuations. This is quite odd in a way because the private sector real estate, privately traded real estate, has not witnessed the same change in market valuations. So one of these two is wrong. Either the REIT market, the public market, is underpriced, or the private market, privately owned real estate, is overpriced. So it'll be very interesting to see over the next couple of years which of these is wrong.
And how does the current disconnect between public REITs and private real estate companies compare with what you've seen in other trends in the past?
Well, we saw this trend in spades in 07 and 08, leading into the last capital markets downturn and the Great Recession. At that time, REITs were prescient. They moved first. REIT valuations moved down before privately traded real estate. And at that time, it was a real forward signal that was valuable to the marketplace if you had a chance to pay attention. So private market valuations fell after REIT values fell. And at that time, by 2009, there were huge buying opportunities available when the market had fallen substantially. And thereafter, the private markets continued to fall for a little while after REIT valuations started to come back. So there was a disconnect in terms of the timing, and the REIT market got there first and got there correctly. Also, of course, REITs being publicly traded real estate, for large institutional investors like many of those we work with who had real estate allocations where they had invested into REITs, quite often they were selling their REITs because the privately traded real estate was illiquid. So they couldn't sell that, but they could sell REITs. So that added some extra volatility to the REIT market in both directions, in terms of it being a little oversold in the middle of the downturn, and then it being quite the opportunity and capturing large gains thereafter. That was really the time period during which the disconnect was most profound. We also saw it to a lesser extent in the late 90s during the internet boom, or rather internet boom 1.0. During that time period, the capital markets favored dot-com companies, and we all saw how that turned out. You would have been far better off buying REIT stocks in 98 than dot-com stocks. So in both cases, that represented an opportunity for investors to buy REITs rather than private real estate. And indeed, in the late 90s, it was a good time to buy real estate, really of any kind, public or private. So we've seen this movie twice before. And in both cases, there was a lot of information on what was going on in the REIT sector.
And in terms of property types, where are you seeing the biggest public-private valuation gaps, and why do you think that is?
The biggest valuation gaps we're seeing in the market are in retail stocks and in office stocks. There, the discounts are fairly wide in REITs versus the private sector, and they've widened quite a bit over the course of the last few months. Now, using data that's about a week old, and of course, it's not going to be a perfect analysis, and for many people listening, the data will have moved by the time they hear this, but basically, the overall retail REIT sector moved from a year ago at about a 5.5 cap, 5.5% capitalization rate, to about a 6.1 cap, 6.1. That's about an 11% decline in values. In contrast, the NCREIF index, for example, which is very high quality, institutional quality real estate, trades at about a 4.7% cap rate. And the overall cap rate in our data at CoStar is a little higher, takes into account a wider quality range, but has also been fairly stable over that time period in contrast to retail REITs falling. So that's a big downturn in a year. And while there are some retail REITs that have lesser quality, and they've been in the news, many that have poor quality anchors, not as good a location, and have been rightfully discounted, there are others like Simon or Taubman, where cap rates in the current market are substantially higher for really solid quality real estate versus the private sector, where those valuations are much higher. So that's where we're seeing it most profoundly, the retail sector. We're also seeing it to a lesser extent in the office sector, where overall cap rates have inched up a little bit over the past year, intimating about a 5% change in value, holding NOIs constant. NOIs have been pretty good for REITs. Versus the NCREIF index and the CoStar indices, which have been much more stable. So really, we've seen this trend most of all in retail and office.
And finally, pulling all these threads together, do you think we should see more public to private transactions this year?
Yes, we expect so. There is an ocean of dry powder available amongst private equity funds, sovereign wealth funds, institutional investors for investment in real estate. So there's really a disconnect here. There's just a cornucopia of capital pointed at commercial real estate, and based on pricing, it's not happening to REITs. So we expect that there will be more take private transactions. Now, the rule of thumb is it's a 20 to 30% increase over the stock price to take a company private, especially in a hostile situation. But I would point out, not every situation is hostile. So we've had some instances where REITs have been taken private with less of a premium than that. And we've had other situations where, due perhaps to closely held ownership of the REIT or other structures or recalcitrant management, where it would take more than that to bring a REIT public. But we basically have a disconnect here between the ready availability of capital, certainly equity, and to a lesser extent debt available in the private sector, and then a mispricing in the public sector. I think we'll see this most profoundly amongst REITs that are have one of a couple of different attributes. First of all, they're complicated stories. Multi-property type, hair on some of the assets. These are the type of assets that many stock investors just don't have the time for, can't put up with it, they pull the ripcord. There, the discounts are a little greater. Secondly, I think we're more likely to see this amongst smaller REITs. A $500 million REIT, a $1 billion REIT, there are buildings in New York City that are worth that much. So this is potentially an inefficient size at which to run all of the overhead associated with a public company, and also a very convenient size for a private investor to buy out.
Hans, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And to listen to previous editions of NAREIT's REIT Report podcast, please visit our website, REIT.com.